Hey there, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. You know, these are challenging times that we are facing. And in today's podcast, I want to invite you into our Treasured Tribe talk, where I talk about the fact that inside the pain of this this pandemic that you and I are facing, that we can find this priceless treasure of personal revival. And so I want to invite you to listen into the Treasure Tribe. And because it's our Treasure Tribe talk, which is the talk that I give every week inside of our private Facebook group, you'll hear me talking to some people inside of the tribe every now and then. But I really wanted to share this message with you and just how the Lord has been speaking to me through this time and how He has moved me. And so that you can see that God's strength is all that we need, and that inside of this drought that you and I are experiencing, that there is a divine open door to a deeper dive into the stream of God's presence through the power of prayer. So I want to invite you to listen in, and if you are interested in joining our private Facebook group to help to cultivate some community inside of this coronavirus craziness that we're experiencing, I'd love for you to join us. You can go to www.treasuredtribe.com to sign up for our devotions, and then search on Facebook for the private Facebook group, which is called the Treasured Tribe. Thanks. Everybody, I'm Aline Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Tribe Talk. We are here, week five of Godly Girl Power, and I'm so glad that you're here. As people are joining on, I want to just say a big welcome to everybody who is new inside of the Treasured Tribe. We are so excited and glad that you are here. Hey, friend, good to see you. Good to see you. Welcome, welcome. So I'm very excited about today's message. And before I begin, I am going to just give people some time to jump on today. And aren't you so glad that we know that our God is all powerful? Aren't you just so excited that even though we're facing this adversity, that it doesn't shake the almighty, all-surpassing power of God, that Godly Girl Power is not based on our circumstances, it's not based on anything that we do. It's based on the unlimited resources of our Heavenly Father. And as we are experiencing this pressure from this pandemic, it produces just this opportunity for a pressing of a producing of a new dependence upon God's power. Hey, Christy, good morning to you. I'm so glad to see you, friend. I hope that you and your family are doing well during this time. And as we gather on, before I get into the meat of our message, I want to give just a few more minutes for people to jump on. I'd love to get your feedback on something, and you can either direct message me, you can leave it in the comments, you can send a note to Sandy, but we're thinking about, somebody had the idea inside the Treasure Tribe of doing a Zoom call every week so that we could really discuss the passage together, just sort of one-on-one. And so I'd love your feedback on that, if that's something that you would be interested in doing. If you'll just let us know, that would be fantastic. All right, I'm going to go ahead and dive in. And I know that we're experiencing this time where there's all this pressure, but inside of this pressure, I see something happening inside of my life personally. And I don't know if you're experiencing this, but I'm experiencing some personal revival going on where God is really reshaping my life and my heart and my priorities. and really, really beginning to just invite me into his presence inside of a deeper way. Good morning, Jacqueline. We're so glad that you're here. Jacqueline is new to the Treasured Tribe, so welcome, my friend. We are so glad that you're here. And for you and for everybody that's new to the tribe, we're walking through the book of Ephesians. If you signed up for the devotions, you'll get the next one on Monday. And then we're studying God's Word together during the week using our Nourish Notebook if you'd like to join along and do that with us. And today, inside of today's passage, we're inside of Ephesians. We're going to be starting in Ephesians chapter 14. But before I begin inside of today's topic, which is about bold prayer. It's about you having a personal revival inside of this pandemic. Now, we know that we want the nation, the world to come to revival, but it all begins with us, you see. And so inside of this pandemic, I don't know about you, but God has me on a pathway of personal revival. And this morning, as I was praying, I wasn't praying for anything specifically other than this. God, I want more of you. I want more of your presence in your life. I want more of you. And there's been so many times when I've just been brought to tears about his faithfulness and his goodness, and so many things that I think that I see that I took for granted inside of my walk with God, and places that he wants to bring me deeper, and that inside of this drought, that it's driving me to a deeper dependence upon him. Now, if you've been walking through our week with us, we've been talking about godly girl power, which is God's all-surpassing power. And we've been talking about the fact that godly girl power is different from worldly power, and that worldly power is really dependent on our circumstances and it's dependent on people, whereas godly girl power is that inner strength that we read about this week. And the reason why you and I want to have that revelation of God's power is that not only are we studying the book of Ephesians. Hey, Erica, hope you and your family are well. Good morning, Betty. Good to see you. Not only do we want to have a revelation of God's power, we want that because we are bringing awareness to the issue of codependency and pointing ourselves to the solution, which is a revelation of God's power, which leads us to God dependency. Now, codependency, that word is not mentioned in the Bible, but we know, because we've defined this, that that actually codependency is nothing more than idolatry. It's dependent on anything else other than God. And so because of that, all Christians at some level will struggle with this. And that if you grew up inside of a situation, or you walked through a period of trauma where you just said, I must survive, that those self-surviving mechanisms can sometimes get transferred over into our relationship with God. And we're not finding ourselves surrendered. We're finding ourselves using our faith to survive. But God doesn't want that for us. He wants us to walk a new way. You see, God doesn't want you dependent upon people and upon other things. God wants dependency on him, not self-sufficiency. I don't know about you, but there's been some really beautiful, thought-provoking Facebook posts that have come out, and one that I read this morning, I wanted to read to you. You may have already seen this. It says this: in 3 short months, just like he did with the plagues of Egypt, God has taken away everything that we worship. God said, you want to worship athletes? I'll shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I will shut down civic centers. You want to worship actors? I will shut down theaters. You want to worship money? I'll shut down the economy and collapse the stock market. If you don't want to go to church and worship me, I will make it where you can't go to church. But if my people, who are called by my name, personal revival, it begins with us, ladies, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Maybe we don't need a vaccine. Maybe we need to take this time of isolation from the distractions of the world and have a personal revival where we focus on the only thing in the world that really matters. And that is our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords, Jesus, anybody else but me, inside of this pandemic, walking through a personal revival where things are being stripped of you and you find yourself inside of this wilderness and you wake up as I did this morning and you're on your face before God just saying, you know what? I don't even know how to pray anymore, but here's what I want, God, more of you, more of your presence, more of your power, more of your love, more of you. Bold prayer breaks codependency by increasing God dependency. And inside of our nourish scripture this week, Paul prayed some bold prayers. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to give you some revelations that God has given me to provide inspiration for a personal revival time. And again, we're not going to look out about how everybody else is living. We want to change it from here, right? Because I can't change rules about the government. I can't change anything like that, but I sure can pray and I sure can have a personal revival inside of my own life where I decrease my codependency, my dependency on any other person or thing, and I increase my God dependency. And a big part of that is prayer, Because when you pray, especially when you begin your day in prayer, you are bringing your needs to God and not to yourself, not to your self-sufficient self. And by the way, God knew that for a time you needed to be that way. When you walked through that, he knew you needed to be that way. And now he says to you, I want you to walk in a new way. When we pray, we bring our needs to God and not to ourselves and not to others. You see, bold prayer breaks our codependency by increasing God dependency. So I want to give you some inspiration, 3 points that you can start to pull inside of your prayer life that God showed me this week that have, it's changed the way that I've started praying. And so I'm going to start out in our nourish scripture. And the first thing that I want to tell you is that before we even get to praying, we need to shift our perspective each and every time off of ourselves and onto an eternal perspective, because our perspective will prompt and inspire our prayer life. And we see inside of our passage this week that Paul had these bold, audacious prayers, and they were inspired and prompted by what he was thinking. In verse 14, it says this, "When I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to," not a person, not a thing, not yourself. He's not looking at himself and his inadequacies, or he's not looking around at all the other Christians and what they didn't do for him and the fact that he's in prison. He says, "I get on my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth." Now, jump back to that beginning of the verse. "When I think of all these things." So what is Paul talking about when he's saying, "When I think of all these things"? Well, we pop back up into our nourish scripture from last week. And the first things that we see is that Paul is thinking about, he's reminded of his position as a believer, that we share rightly in God's inheritance as God's children, okay? In Ephesians 3:6, this is just a little review. It says, "Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inheritance by God's children." Before you pray, remind yourself, "I'm not an orphan. I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it is His delight. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, seek, and knock. He has not only He's commanded me to come to Him and ask Him, and I can run to Him like an Abba Father. And let me tell you something. Do not look on earth for a replica of your God Almighty Father, because there is none. Because every single father, every single man, it has flaws inside of them. You need to look right to here, to who your Abba Father is, right? So He remembers His position, right? As a child of God, that He has access to that inheritance. And then the next thing that He has perspective about, and again, the reason why we want this perspective is because God doesn't want us to pray based on the realities of who we are or our self-righteousness. He wants us to shift our perspective onto God and who He says that we are and what our inheritance is and who He is. And He invites us. He wants us to ask, to seek, and to knock. All right. So the first thing is that we pray out of the reality of our position as a daughter. The second thing is that we pray out of the realities of God's promises. It says this also in verse 6. It says, both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of the blessings because they belong to Jesus Christ. And in another place, it talks about those promises as covenant promises. And we talked about this last week, that the covenant is made available to us because we belong to Jesus. And so we need to be reminded of, and that's one of the reasons why, as you do the Nourish Bible Study Method every week, we tell you to seek out those promises, right, from God, so that you can begin to stand on those promises. And sometimes standing on a promise means that we incorporate it into our prayer life and we just say, God, I'm believing you for this, right? I'm believing you for this. Hey, Heather, good to see you. Good to see you, my friend. Welcome. Welcome. And then the next thing is that God wants us to pray based off of the reality of His provision in our life. Verse 8 says this, though I'm the least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures that are available to them in Christ. Endless treasures that are available to you and I. In our Nourish scripture this week, it talked about that God's glorious, unlimited resources are available to you and me. And then in verse 12, it says this, because of Christ and in our faith in Him, we now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart of my trials here. I am suffering for you, so you should feel honored. He comes boldly into God's presence. And listen to this. Paul was in prison. He was in prison. I wonder, was he in solitary confinement? I don't know. Was he sequestered from people like you and I are? And yet inside of this, he was filled with joy. Why? Because he knew that nothing matters in this life but the presence of God. And you and I have the gift every single day, no matter if our lives are falling down around us, that you and I can go boldly before the throne. Anybody else but me this morning, I was just on my face. God, I just want more of you. I want more of you. I don't want another thing before I have more of you this morning. And so we want to shift our perspective. That's the first thing, because an eternal perspective inspires bold prayers because it takes the focus off of us and it puts it on to God. And again, The reason why, if you've ever struggled, if any of this like strums a little bit of a familiar chord to you, this codependency, prayer breaks codependency because it leads us to God dependency. It puts the needs that you and I have on our God Almighty, and it takes the relief and the strain off of ourselves and off of other people. So the first thing is we shift our perspective. The second thing is this. We seek God first. We seek Him first. And this is what I'm talking about, this personal revival that is going on inside of my life. We seek God first. I've never seen this inside of this passage. When Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, he says this, I pray from His glorious unlimited resources that He will empower you with inner strength. And then he prays that they will trust Christ and grow their roots deeper into God's love, and that they will experience more of God's love. He prayed for them to have more of God. More of God. Anybody else but me. God is shaking and rattling everything in your life, and you're just coming to the place where you're like, Lord, I just want personal revival, and I want it with you. I want more of your strength. I want more of your love. I want to experience more of you. You see, the Bible says this, that we are to seek the kingdom first and His righteousness. And all these other things, right? All these other things will happen. Seek ye first the kingdom of righteousness. That is God's will for our lives. And that is what Paul prayed for the Ephesians. He didn't pray for them to, you know, anything in their personal life. And don't get me wrong, we're going to talk about this in a minute, but God cares about every single detail in our life. But our first priority every day, more of you, God, more of you, God. I want to see your strength. I want to experience your love, right? And the reason why he prayed this, the first thing that he prayed for that inner strength, okay? He says, I pray from his glorious unlimited resources that he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Now, the reason why I believe Paul prayed for this inner strength is because nobody can touch that. Nothing can touch inner strength, right? And so he prays for this inner strength because, see, inner strength is insulated. Nobody can take that from you. And we're hungry for it. And right now, is there something that God has touched in your life like he's touched in mine, and you're just so aware that you were putting your trust and your faith maybe in a person? And it's not that you didn't love God, but it's like, I love God and Jesus. I trust in Him and I love God and Jesus. I trust in that and there's a rattling and a shaking going on. And all the while, God is calling His daughters to come and find strength in Him. You know, when you and I, Jeremiah, there's a beautiful scripture in Jeremiah. I'm not going to take the time to read it because we're already at 25 minutes after, but it's Jeremiah 17. And it talks about the fact that people that trust in the Lord, that they are like, they're planted by the river and they have no fear of drought, right? And that's what prayer does. Prayer plants us by the river. Prayer plants us by the river. See, because we bring our needs, we bring everything to God, and we just announce, I am dependent upon you. And then no matter what happens inside of this world, you know, because as Christians, honestly, we don't even have to fear death. There's nothing that we need to fear, right? And see, when we experience God's power, Remember this. We talked about the fact that the solution to codependency is a revelation of His power. When we experience His power in our life, it changes our perspective on people, right? And we begin to depend on God more and more. And we increase our trust. Now, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Inside of this storm is where I'm finding myself just seeking God more and more. And see, oftentimes it's resistance in our life that presents an opportunity for us to drive our roots deeper in God's love. Verse 17 says this, "Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him, and your roots will grow deep down into God's love, and He will keep you strong." Mark chapter 4 talks about the seed parable, and you can turn there later. I'm not going to go there now for sake of time. But it talks about the seed parable, and the seed is the word of God. And so the seeds were sown out, and the seeds fell on four different types of soil. And there were three soils where there wasn't really a crop. There was one that was an abundant crop. One of those soils was the rocky soil. And it said that it immediately sprang up, but as soon as the sun came out, that it was scorched because it didn't have roots. You know, you and I, we can't control the sun. And that sun coming up, that heat, Jesus goes on later on to explain in Mark chapter 4. And this parable is also in Luke chapter 8, I believe verses 4 through 20. But you can read it both places there. But so then he goes on to say that sun, it is the problems and the persecution that we face. And when all this rose up in the world, right? I've had moments of fear, but also beautiful times of faith where I understand that I have a choice to drive my roots deeper. See, how a plant works is that when it's looking for water, it'll drive its roots deeper. And I want to ask you a question. Will you see this drought inside of our world right now as an opportunity for you to drive your roots deeper with a conscious choice that you make moment by moment, when you hear the fear, moment by moment, to trust God? To lay it at His feet, everything that you might lose, to lay your health at His feet, and just to say, "I trust You, Lord. I trust You, Lord." You know something? The suffering in our life produces powerful prayers, right? Think about Jesus when He knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there was blood coming from Him. He was in so much anguish. In fact, His soul was filled with agony. And I'd love to tell you that I've never freaked out over these last 2 weeks or never had anxious moments, but it's just not true. But I'm not worried about that, because Jesus, inside of that Garden of Gethsemane, he came to the Father and He cried out to God. And that's what suffering does. In fact, Gethsemane actually means to press. And when there's a pressing in our life, there's a pushing on dependence upon God. See, suffering produces powerful prayers, right? And when we choose to pray powerfully, it drives our roots down deep, deep, deep into God's love. Prayer plants us by the river so that we can weather any drought, so that you and I can weather any storm. Psalm 1 is another good psalm to read for that. I am going to flip over into Romans chapter 8 briefly. But in Romans chapter 8, it says this in 8:26. "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness." How many of you have felt weak in the inside of this season? "For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed." Have you cried out to the Father and just let it go? And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us as believers in harmony with God's will. And we know that God causes everything, Sandy, I know this is your verse, sweet friend, to work together for the good of those who love and are called according to His purpose. Suffering, the Bible says this in Romans 8, verse 17, and since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in His glory, we must all share in His suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that God will reveal later. I don't want to miss out on His glory, right? And so I choose, inside of this time of fear and uncertainty, I choose to draw my roots deeper by falling on my knees and praying. Don't you let that enemy make you wilt. By saying, God, where are you? All this pandemic going on. How am I going to pay for this? Where don't you let the enemy do that? Fall to your knees in prayer and say, my God's got this. It's not up to me. It's not even up to my husband. It's not up to anything. God's got this under control, and I'm lifting everything up in prayer. And even if He doesn't answer it the way that I want to, my biggest prayer is that I want more of you. So He prays for inner strength. The next thing that He prays is that they would experience God's love. Now, this is so cool. I mean, I love this. He didn't pray. It wasn't like their prayer request. You know what I'm saying? Like it was, I want you to have more strength, God's strength. And I want you to experience His love. I want you to have more of God. And so He prays this way. He says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. You know what I thought when I read that? I said, you know, every day, I'll never end praying, God, I want to experience more of you. Never, ever. Right? Because his love is just like this bottomless thing that we keep understanding. And here's the thing, you will never understand. And y'all know that I love the Word of God. I love the Word. But I read about God here, but you know how I experience God? Whenever a scripture leaps off the page to me and God speaks to me and I hear His voice. That's an experience to me of love, right? That the Creator of the universe, that he talked to me. And see, when you and I pray, when we seek God, and then it says, and all these things will be added unto you. And then it says, the Spirit will pray for us. Like it's so hard to even know what to pray these days, right? And God says, just come and seek me. Just worship me, right? And you let me take care of everything else in that beautiful place of surrender. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. In other words, it's like you can't even get words around like describing God's love. It's something that you experience. The more that we ask, the more that we experience. And then check this out. Then it says, then you will be made complete with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. See, Paul prayed that they would not only have strength, but experience His love, because experiencing God's love leads to completeness. And if you're a codependent, you are constantly, you need other people to love you. Do you know what I'm saying? But people are not here to complete us. I want to read this to you. This is a quote from Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa said, "Spiritual poverty of the Western world is much greater than the physical poverty of our people," she went on to say. "You in the West have millions of people who suffer such terrible loneliness and emptiness. They are unloved and unwanted. The Western people are not hungry in a physical sense. They are hungry in another way. The West knows they need something more than money, but they don't know what it is. What they don't know they are really missing is a living relationship with God. God is the only love that can complete us." I looked up the Greek for that word complete, and it means this: to fill to the top so that nothing shall be wanting, to full measure to the brim. And see, when I have an experience of God's love, when I hear him in the morning, when he speaks to me, there's just a validation that I get. And if it's like, if I don't have that, then I'm going to go looking for it from other people. Do you know what I'm saying? God's love is the only love that will complete us. Not a person. And I know, because we live inside of this broken world, that probably everybody on inside of this Facebook love has experienced how a person let you down. God says, "Come and experience my love, and come and love me. And then, and only then, will you be filled so full that you'll be able to love others." And then it says this, then it talks about the immeasurably more, which I love that scripture. Let me pop back over to Ephesians. "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." You know, when I read that scripture this week, here's what I thought. Have I been asking and thinking and wanting things? And maybe God is like, you know, there's something greater I want to give you. There's joy. There's peace. There's stuff inside of this world that will never fill you up, right? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." So we want to shift our perspective. We want to seek God first. Paul prayed that the Ephesians would have more of God, and that's what we want to pray. And then we want to stay alert and be persistent. Now, I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going over into our nourish scripture in a couple of weeks in Ephesians, but it's talking about the armor of God. But I couldn't help but pull this scripture into our talk today. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion." In other words, prayer to us, it should be like breathing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought about that. Like, it should be like breathing, not only like in my quiet time, but during the day. Like, am I praying to God? Am I seeking him for every single decision? Am I just walking with him every step of the way? Pray at all times and on every occasion. I mean, even little things that you are thinking of, right? And then it says, "Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." Now, that stay alert. Alert means quick to notice any dangerous circumstances. All right? So as women and walking godly girl power, we want to be alert. Right? We want to be alert to where the enemy is trying to get us to feel insecure, to depend on other people, whatever. We want to be alert to that. Okay? And then we want to be persistent in our prayers. Persistent means continuing firmly or obstinately in a course of action in spite of difficulty or opposition. Okay, hold that thought about persistent prayer. I'm going to jump over to the Gospel of Luke in 18. This is the parable of the persistent widow. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a certain judge in a city who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, "Give me justice." The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with all her constant requests." Then the Lord said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision at the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth that has faith?" Now, don't miss this. Don't miss this. You know, the Bible talks about the birthing pains of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we are inside of this pandemic and two earthquakes that I know of. There might be more, but there was one in Utah, one in Croatia, and it's birthing pains. It's birthing pains, right? And it says, "But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith?" And this whole prayer, it is about a woman, not just any woman, but it's about a widow. And back then, widows, they were one of some of the most vulnerable people because of the way, you know, that they couldn't go out and work. It's not their husband died and then they could go out and work, or there were like life insurance policies or all this sort of stuff. You know, that they were really dependent, and God set up these this amazing system through tithing to Levites to take care of the widows. And so God set up this system to take care of them, but that was based on everybody doing what they were supposed to be doing. And we live in a broken world, broken people. And so widows were some of the most vulnerable people. And so inside of this passage, I see a woman and I see a widow. And you may not have lost your husband, but you might have lost something that left you vulnerable, right? And there was a woman. There was a woman, and I think something amazing happens when women pray. I really believe that. And I wonder if Jesus came back, would he see us crying out to him in the morning, "More of you, God, more of you in my life, more of you." Lord Jesus, may there be revival in this country. And may it begin right here with a personal revival in me. We want to be persistent inside of our prayers. And another part of that, if you jump back, Mark chapter 4, it's Mark 4, 1 through 20, and then it's Luke 8, 3 through something. But it's that parable of the seeds. And you know what seed produced fruit? It was the seed that fell on good soil. And the Gospel of Luke talks about that part of the condition of good soil is persistence. It is persistence. And that makes so much sense, because when you think about when a farmer plants a seed, you don't see the answer right away, right? You don't see green right away. But that woman that says, "I believe in you, God, and I'm just going to keep on praying. And you know what? You know what? I'm not going to depend on a man. I'm not going to depend on a person, right? I'm depending on you, God, for my validation and for my worth. I'm coming to you as the living water," and keep on praying. And that is when the fruit is born. Do you have that courage and conviction within you to pray those big, bold prayers? And here's the reason why this is so important. Because the more we pray, the more of God we receive. And the Bible says that God is love. And some of you listening today, you might be beating yourself up because there are people in your life that you know that God is calling you to love, and you would just rather eat dirt. And I'm just going to raise my hand. Can I be authentic with y'all? That God has put on my heart somebody that just, he wants me to love. And they're not very lovely. But inside of this passage, you know what I see? That I've been trying so hard to love this person, and I really am like, no way, I'm not doing it. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I was depending on my power to do it. And guess what? God doesn't, he doesn't even expect that of me. Right? Because God's love system that he's clearly outlined in this passage, because see, in chapter 4, it says, therefore, okay, so because of the fact that we have God's power and God's love, therefore, I, a prisoner of serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always humble and gentle, be patient with one another, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. I'm going to tell you what, I honestly feel like Jonah, do you know what I'm saying? Like where God says, I want you to love these people. And you're like, no way. I would rather eat dirt because this person, and I know they're so insecure that they pull you down to prop themselves. They cannot help it, right? But you know what? Those are the very people that need love. And here's the thing. If you saturate yourself in God's love, you can walk right into that situation and you can be powerful and love. Because you're not loving them because they deserve it. You're not loving them because you're bringing a need into the relationship. You're not loving them to get anything from them. You're loving them because you are a called child of God, and God is showering out his love on you so much that you don't need their validation anymore. And you start doing that. You want to talk about godly girl power. That is powerful. And see, here's the thing, the way that God's love flow works, because a lot of times where we start is we try to just love difficult people out of our broken self and our insecurity. And you know what? That's going to get you hurt even more. But if you start to see people and pour into people with God's love, and that's important. Let me just break this down. Here's another thing that will free you. How does God love me? Okay, God does not love abuse. God in a because of love would set boundaries with abuse. So love women that are listening to me, and I've had a big misconception with this. I thought love meant I had to tell everybody yes all the time, right? That's not love. One of the very first things God did when he created this world was he set boundaries. Do you know what I'm saying? Like in the Garden of Eden, he set boundaries, okay? He told people no. And so sometimes you need to love people from a distance, right? Because we don't want to enable abuse. So there's a big difference in that. And I always love to point this out because I got that wrong for a long time. And a little side note here, we are putting together a podcast series for women whose husbands have fallen into the pandemic of pornography and the betrayal. And really, it is really like when your husband falls into that, it's like infidelity and betrayal and just terrible hurt. And so we wanted to give you a podcast series. And let me tell you, this one woman I interviewed whose husband went through this, you don't want to miss that podcast. In fact, I will post it in the tribe too so you won't miss it, but it is amazing. But she loved her husband. She set some big old fat boundaries because that was the loving thing to do for him. Does that make sense? So I just want to get this out there, that love does not mean that we allow people to walk like, you know, treat us like dirt. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's, we see that they're broken and they don't need like our, they don't need emotional love. They need agape love. Okay. And that's probably for another sermon, another time, another place. But what I wanted you to see here, is that, you know, one of the ways that this pandemic is creating this personal revival in me is that there's some people in my life that God wants me to love and really even to minister to. Do you know what I'm saying? And I would really rather eat dirt. Can I be honest with you? I'd rather eat dirt. But when I look inside of this passage, I find inspiration. And it was such a relief because I thought, you know what? The love for them, God will do it through me. And the first step in that journey is for me to get on my knees and pray, more of you, more of you, more of you.